Welcome to the Dean's Show. I'm Eddie, your host, and it's Ramadan. It's that time of the year, and I bet you if you sit tight, there are in this episode several questions that's probably been on your mind that we're going to answer on this week's show, especially for Ramadan and those fasting in Ramadan and those who want to know about Ramadan. We'll be right back.
This is the Dean's, the Dean Show. This is the Dean's, the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show. This is the Dean's, the Dean Show.
This is the Dean's, the Dean Show.
Assalamu alaikum. Greetings of peace.
Rahsalah.
How are you, Sheikh?
I'm doing excellent. How about you?
Ramadan, special episode. We want to go ahead and first start off with, what is Ramadan? What's the whole purpose of Ramadan?
Right. So, I mean, Ramadan is the month in which the Quran was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So, it's special. So, Allah chose that month to be special, where we get extra rewards for doing things, and we're going to be fasting in this month of Ramadan.
Why fast? Why? What's the whole purpose? I got to starve myself now. Everybody's eating. I got to go hungry.
Yeah, that's a very good question. So, the thing is, when you're fasting, you're keeping away from three things. You're avoiding food, you're avoiding drink, you're avoiding intercourse during the day from dawn until sunset. Now, if you think about the three things that God asked us to stay away from, these are like the three human, like the strongest human desires that we have. Everyone's got to eat. Everyone gets hungry. Everyone needs to eat something. Everyone needs to drink something. And there's a very strong urge for, you know, intercourse that, you know, human beings have, that intimacy and wanting to be with someone and all of that. So when you can train yourself to resist these three desires for a period of time, you can resist all the other things which are prohibited for you. You know, you're lying, you're going and drinking alcohol, you're doing drugs. You can stay away from all those things because someone gives you some weed, someone gives you some beer or something like that, and you're like, man, I stayed away from water, you know, in the summer months, you know. So it's like a training program, basically. You train yourself so that you can get self-discipline, and that self-discipline will lead you to get closer to Allah and become a better servant of God.
Beautiful. I am going to, we have some questions compiled that I bet most people out there, they've wanted to ask these, maybe it's still on their minds. So we're going to try to go through many of these questions, and hopefully you can answer them, God willing, inshallah. Children, when should children start fasting?
Yeah, that's a common question. Children, the same time when they start praying. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, he said that when children reach the age of 7, they should start praying. And when they reach the age of 10, parents should discipline them, meaning like enforce that they're actually going to be praying. And the same thing applies for fasting. So they should start fasting when they're 7 years old, try to, you know, learn what fasting is, fast 3 days a month, 7 days, whatever they can handle. They got age 7, age 8, age 9, where they're just testing it out. They try whenever they can. If they get hungry, they can break it. It's okay. Once they hit the age of 10, they need to be fasting every single day in the month of Ramadan.
How sick does someone have to be to skip fasting?
Yeah, so that's the thing. So if someone is sick, they don't have to fast. So if you have a major illness, you have the flu, you have some type of chronic illness or whatever, you don't need to fast. So if your body is being harmed by fasting, harmed to like an actual extent, right? Like a serious extent. If you had the flu, you need liquids, you know, to be able to get through this this time, you don't need to fast. But if you got like a little cough, you know, you just felt, you know, little nose running or something like that, or, you know, at school they're like, oh, you're going to have to run half a mile today. I can't do that, you know, it's too difficult. Most people can get through it, you know. So you're not allowed to break your fast or skip fasting if it's something very small. Like, it's not going to harm your body. The moment it's going to be harming your body and it's going to cause like major repercussions, you know, for the following days or longer period of time, that's when you want that. That's when where the limit basically is.
How about pregnant women? Should they fast?
That's a good question. You know, pregnant women, they should ask and consult with their physician. They should ask their doctor to see if it's safe for them to fast, because I've actually heard of cases where women were fasting, depends on how long the day is, if they became dehydrated or whatever, it can potentially affect their baby and affect them as well. So they should really consult with their doctor. If they give them the okay, then they can fast. If they don't give them the okay, they should not go out of their way that would potentially harm their body or their baby and go ahead and fast anyways.
What about breastfeeding women?
That's a common question as well. Yeah, so if they're breastfeeding and that's going to somehow, fasting is going to stop the milk supply or something like that, they're allowed to skip that as well. So that is okay. If breastfeeding women, they're not able to pump and keep the milk and feed the baby later or something like that, they can also skip fasting.
What about women who continuously get pregnant at the same time, now Ramadan comes around and they keep breastfeeding? How do they fit into this?
Yeah, so what can happen is, you know, if you're pregnant and then you're breastfeeding for a year or 2 years, and then you're pregnant again in that period of time, several Ramadans can go by and you haven't fasted in several years and you didn't get a chance to make it up either because you were continuously in that state. So in that case, you're considered to be a person who's like in a chronic, you know, inability to be able to fast. So you don't need to go ahead and make those up. Instead, you can do what people who have a chronic illness can do, and that is feed one poor person every day that you missed of fasting.
Feed a poor person. What if someone has a chronic illness now?
Right. So anyone who has any type of chronic illness, diabetes, or they're just someone who's very elderly in age, it's very, very difficult for them to be able to get through because of their health issues, their health conditions that they have. They don't need to fast because, you know, Allah has made it easy for people. He doesn't want to overburden people and make sure that he doesn't want their health to get messed up or something like that. So what they do instead, for every single day of fasting that they miss, they just feed one poor person for every single fast that they're missing. So if it's 30 days in Ramadan, you miss all 30 days, you're going to be feeding 30 poor people.
I travel a lot. For a person traveling, how do they incorporate the fasting?
Yeah, so when you're traveling, you have an exception to the rule. You have the option to not fast. So because traveling is usually a difficult thing, it takes a toll on people, they're in an airplane or something like that. So you can skip fasting while you're in a state of travel. But the thing to keep in mind is that you don't have to skip fasting. Some people have a misconception that if you're traveling, I'm flying from here, 1 hour distance away in an airplane, I'm traveling technically, do I have to break my fast? If it's easy for you to fast, it's better to fast. Mm-hmm. But if you feel that there's actually going to be some level of difficulty or hardship involved, then you have the option to not fast and make it up later.
We got one more before we go to break. Ramadan starting and ending at different times in different masjids. What should a person do?
Yeah, this is an issue because there are some different opinions in terms of how Ramadan or when Ramadan should be starting and when it should be ending. And it has to do with global sighting of the moon versus a local sighting of the moon versus using astronomical calculations. My advice is go with the masjid which you feel is like your home masjid. You feel comfortable there, you feel comfortable with the Islamic scholarship there. And what's really, really important is, if that masjid is not following the opinion that you hold, go ahead and set the opinion that you hold aside and go with that masjid anyways. And make sure that your family is not divided. Keep the family together. Some families, they split and they go, oh, I'm going with that masjid and I'm going to start Ramadan on one day, I'm going to start Ramadan on another day. The family should be kept together, and that's very, very important because there are different opinions on this issue and there are legitimate differences of opinion. So we shouldn't cause this to become a division for even, especially a locality.
That's 10 down of the questions that most commonly are asked during Ramadan. We'll be back with more, God willing. Don't go anywhere.
Fasting makes you feel hunger, which every poor person suffers from in the world. This is how you would sympathize with the poor and try to help them more. This is why every Muslim is required to give food to the poor immediately by the end of Ramadan. The basic rules of fasting are avoiding food, drink, and sexual intercourse between dawn and sunset in the month of Ramadan. Other levels must be added to have real impact on the fasting person. The basic level of fasting will not benefit one spiritually, except from the perspective of submission to divine instructions. Thus, the ritual level alone will not purify one of sin. The deeper meaning of fasting is training the spirit to control desires. Restraining the spirit from the lawful human desires for a while during fasting makes the person more capable of preventing himself from committing anything unlawful at all times, not only fasting time. It helps him control the negative human emotions, like anger. It also helps the person to overcome greed, stinginess, and hatred. This is what the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said. Allah has no need for the hunger and the thirst of the person who does not restrain himself from telling lies and acting on them even while observing the fast.
Welcome back to the Dean Show. Questions during Ramadan. Fifth pillar of Islam. One is to agree that there's nothing worthy of worship except the creator of the heavens and earth. Jesus, Moses, Abraham, Muhammad is the last and final messenger, including, not excluding, all those that preceded him. And giving the poor due, the zakat, the Ramadan, which we're in now, right? And Hajj.
Pilgrimage,
but the one we're focusing on right now. And Salat, praying 5 times minimum a day. Islam is very simple and easy to understand. We cover why we fast real briefly, but now these are questions that are on the mind of many people. Now, the next question that I have is the different timetables that people have at masjids, and this can create some confusion. What do you have to answer that?
So the thing is, when we're determining the Fajr time and we're determining the Isha time, there's different ways to calculate that, whether you use 18 degrees or 15 degrees in terms of how low the sun is below the horizon. So these are calculations which are very, they're not absolute. So what has happened actually is people tried to estimate, they say, if we want to find out exactly what the prayer time is in a particular region, what is a good estimate to use that will apply across the board? Unfortunately, it changes wherever you are, depending on where you are on the earth, which country you're in, which state you're in even. So the thing is, most people, they're not able to go outside and see the horizon to determine for themselves. So there's going to be a little bit difference in timing when it comes to the calendar that you're getting. So what you really should do is, I would recommend for the average person who can't investigate in detail, go with their local scholars council that's actually determining what this calendar is. And whatever, you know, degrees that they fixed, after doing proper research, don't worry about there being some discrepancy in timing.
Mm-hmm. Vomiting. Does vomiting, someone will ask, does that break my fast?
Yeah, so
is vomiting. That a common question?
Yeah, it's a common question. If you vomit intentionally, it will break your fast. But if you vomit unintentionally, you're just overcome by it, then that's not going to break your fast. So you don't induce vomit. If you induce vomiting for yourself, someone has an issue or whatever it is, that will break your fast.
So the only thing I can think of, and it's crazy, but you know, you used to be a model, you came to Islam, and you know.
I was thinking the same thing.
And you're forcing yourself, you want to keep your petite. You can't be doing that, right?
You can't be doing that.
Okay, next one. Is it okay to take these drops, eye drops, different medications?
Eye drops, ear drops, nose drops, all these things, as long as you're not swallowing them. They're not, you know, the ear canal, no eyes, they're not going to be going into your mouth. Your nose drops, you just want to make sure if it gets down into your throat, you don't swallow. Even if you have to take an enema as a medicine or something like that, all of these things are fine. They don't break your fast because they don't really nourish you and they don't make it down into your stomach.
Medical injections?
Medical injections also.
Do they break the fast?
So it depends on what you're injecting. So if you're injecting something that is non-nourishing, it doesn't resemble food. Like if you're getting, let's say, a vaccine, you know, you're getting a... insulin or something like that. This is not considered to be nourishing, so it does not break your fast. Just the needle going in does not break your fast. It depends what's in there. But if you are hospitalized and they're putting glucose in your body, glucose nourishes you. That's what it does, right? So it's like you're basically drinking. So in that sense, it will break your fast. So it depends what's going in. If it's nourishing, if it's going to the stomach, it's going to break your fast. If it's non-nourishing, it just goes into your bloodstream and it's not really changing anything, it doesn't resemble food in any way, shape, or form, then in that case, it's not going to break your fast.
Beautiful. Continuing on answering your question, I told you, you're going to sit tight and there's probably many of these that are on your mind. You didn't get a chance to ask. We got someone who can go ahead and give us the answers. Mouthwash.
Yeah. So mouthwash is something that I would recommend people avoid. I would say that it's disliked because the thing is, it's usually not necessary. You can brush your teeth. Brushing your teeth would be okay, but when it comes to using mouthwash, you're kind of gargling. Many people will gargle, try and get in the back there. I would say avoid it, but it wouldn't break your fast if you're using it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I've had the morning before dawn meal, right, zuhur before, and now the day goes by and maybe I'm flossing and oh, I got that little piece, it went down, a little bit of food that I swallowed.
Yes.
What happens here?
Yeah, so again, this is unintentional.
Yeah.
So what happens is you have the pre-dawn meal, you're eating some poppy seed, whatever it may be, kind of stuck in your teeth, and all of a sudden you're like kind of picking at it, and it all of a sudden just comes in your mouth, you swallow it. It's perfectly fine because you did it accidentally. If you eat or drink accidentally, even if you eat, I mean, totally forgetfully, you eat a quarter of a burger or something like that, and then you remember all of a sudden, you got to stop immediately. If you got food in your mouth, you spit the rest out, and you resume your fasting, it did not break your fast.
Good deeds are multiplied during the month of Ramadan?
Absolutely.
So I want to give blood.
Yes.
What happens? Is that acceptable?
Absolutely. So what happened with blood, it can potentially weaken you. So if you're giving blood, if it can weaken you to the point where it's making your fasting very difficult for you, it's better not to give blood. But if you're okay when you give blood, you don't really get weak, you're perfectly fine, you can walk around, everything's going to be fine, there's nothing wrong with giving blood, it's not going to break your fast.
Asthma inhalers?
Asthma inhalers as well. So there is a difference of opinion among scholars on this, but I believe it's okay because it's going into the lungs and it's not really nourishing your body in any way. So that's considered to not break your fast as well.
Someone might ask, is it okay to wear perfume or any of colognes during Ramadan?
Right, right.
Have you been asked that?
Yeah, I've been asked that. So some people think that because you're going to be inhaling it and you're smelling it, it's like incense and it's like smoke, you know, going into your mouth or something. So just simply smelling perfume is not going to break your fast. There's nothing wrong with it at all.
Okay, so it's encouraged to smell good all the time.
Absolutely.
Okay, but what about the distinction now with the man and the woman? The
right.
Woman.
Yes, of course, there's the issue of women wearing very strong perfume that's going to be luring and enticing men. So they should be careful about that, okay. Right? So that's something that is not allowed in Islam.
Moving along, we're flying through many of these important questions. Someone, it gets hot. Right? Mm. Very hot sometimes. You're working outside or just being outside, and now you want to cool off, you know, taking some nose and some water and gargling,
right.
Splashing it on you in your nose.
Yeah, so that's perfectly fine. I mean, you can go and, you know, rinse your mouth with water, kind of just moistens it, you know, and some people will say, well, but some water goes in, your water is absorbed by your tongue, it goes into your body. Yes, it does. But you're not intentionally going and swallowing it. So it's allowed. You do that in wudu. When you're performing wudu, you're making ablution, you're going to be putting water in your mouth while you're fasting as well. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, did it. It's allowed. You want to take a bath, you want to take a shower or something like that, cool down. It's getting a little bit tough. Last few hours of fasting, it's summertime. You can go ahead, jump in a tub or something like that. It's perfectly fine to cool down.
Beautiful. We just got through 21 questions. We got another 9 left I want to get through, and I'm sure you do also, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back here on The Deen Show. Don't go anywhere.
The essence of the sciences of self-development and management of time and resources in the world call for one important principle: control your desires, and do not let them control you. In this age of gratification, many things are used to fulfill human desires as soon as they have them. The ability to delay gratification is an important skill, and fasting helps in developing such skill. Fasting is primarily between the person and Allah. And because of this intimate aspect of fasting, Allah was quoted by the Prophet as saying, "Every act of Adam's descendants is for themselves, except fasting. It is meant for me alone, and I alone will give the reward for it."
شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم.
Back here on The Deen Show, we're talking about Ramadan. People are fasting. That's their connection to their Creator, as it was prescribed to those before you, it's prescribed upon you, that you may increase in taqwa. What is taqwa? Someone's saying, what is that, real quick? What does that mean, taqwa?
Yeah, taqwa means you're conscious of God. You think about God all the time, and whenever you're doing something, you remember that God is watching you. Mm. That's what it means to have taqwa.
Someone says, okay, I missed the fast. How quickly should I make up the fast?
Yeah. So ideally, you should try to make it up as soon as you can. Some people want to take a little bit break or whatever it is. You have to make it up by the next Ramadan. That's like if you delay for an entire year until the next Ramadan comes and you haven't made up the fast that you were supposed to make up, then you can be sinful for that. But prior to that, you should try to make it up, you know, in a reasonably sufficient time, after a few weeks, if you need to, maybe a month or so. You shouldn't delay too long, but you should never ever exceed until the next Ramadan comes and you're like, I don't have time to make it up now.
Mm-hmm. If someone broke their fast, they were just too hungry, right?
Yeah.
They just ended up breaking their fast. That cheeseburger, whatever, that looked too good. They ate, their friend had it, and they just kept, you know, pushing them, you know, yeah. teasing them. Maybe you shouldn't be around, watch who you're also hanging
right,
out with.
Right, that's
but
right.
they ended up breaking the fast. Do they just pray to God Almighty, Allah, to forgive them and just move right. on? What do they do in this case? Continue the fast or no, it's gone for that day?
Right. So, I mean, they should refrain from fasting the rest of the day, even though their fast is technically broken. Now, when you break your fast in Ramadan intentionally like this, you're like, you know, I just want to eat, man. I'm just hungry. I don't want to fast anymore. There's no medical condition. There's no like legitimate excuse. This is a very serious thing. And there's a penalty for it as well. And the penalty for doing that is, well, we can't free a slave anymore. So the other penalty is that you have to actually make up 60 days of continuous consecutive fasts because you broke your fast in the month of Ramadan. It's not a joke at all. This is a penalty that's been prescribed by the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. So many people don't know that. They're like, oh, well, it's just one. I'll just make it up. No, you're not just making up one. Now you're being penalized. You have to make up 60 consecutively in a row without breaking it. And that's the penalty for breaking, for basically what you're doing, you're violating the sanctity of the month of Ramadan. And that's a very serious thing.
So we talked about if you accidentally, let's say you unconsciously, you drank some water. And
So that's different. Yeah. So you unconsciously did it, you forgetfully did it. That's understandable. Your fast is not broken, it's overlooked. But you are deliberately saying, you know what, I just don't want to fast anymore.
That's
when you get penalized for it. Mm-hmm. That's you like rebelling against Allah and just saying, you know what, I can't take this anymore. I just want to eat a burger, man. I'm hungry.
Yeah.
You just gone against a major, major command of Allah. Yeah. So you gone against one of the pillars of Islam.
And most of us don't know what starving is. Starving actually occurs, man, after several days of not eating. So that's technically.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's not excusable. Well, tell us, people ask, okay, I go to the Taraweeh prayer, some places is 8, some places is 20.
Yeah, so you know what? There are different opinions on this. There's different ways. The Prophet, peace be upon him, did not specify the number in 100% clear detail in terms of Taraweeh. So if some masjid is praying 8, another one's praying 20, some people make it a big deal. I don't go to that 20 masjid. Or the other one, I don't go to that masjid where they pray 8. It's okay. Both of these are acceptable opinions, and there are other opinions as well. Imam Malik and other scholars said you could pray 36, you could pray another number. So it's not the number that you're praying, it's the Taraweeh that you're actually praying. The fact that you're breaking them up in twos and you're taking breaks in between, that's what Taraweeh is all about. So don't make it into a huge deal or something to debate about. It's okay if you pray either one.
Sadaqatul Fitr, when people ask, when does this need to be paid? What
right.
is this?
So this Sadaqatul Fitr, sometimes it's called Zakatul Fitr, but it's not the normal zakah. This fitrah that you pay is basically something you give before the day of Eid, before Ramadan ends, so that you're giving it to those people who are in need, and they don't have to work on the day of Eid. Some people, they live literally, as they say, hand to mouth. You know, they need to make their living for that day. Everyone deserves to enjoy and celebrate the day of Eid, right? So what you're doing is, when every Muslim gives a certain amount of money to those people who really are deserving, who really need it, so that they don't need to work on the day of Eid, they can enjoy the day themselves as well. So you should be giving this. Every masjid usually solicits it, and they ask, okay, well, you know what? It's time to pay now. We have a box going around. They set what the amount is. The amount is a certain amount of foodstuffs. Depending on what is calculated, sometimes it's like $8, sometimes it's like $15. It's really not that much. But so you need to give that. You need to give it on behalf of your family members as well. And it's very important you don't wait till the last minute. And the reason why I want to emphasize that is when you wait till the last minute, most organizations, Islamic organizations, they don't have the means to distribute it to the right people in time. So I would say try to give it at least 1 week before Ramadan ends, or 2 weeks before Ramadan ends, and don't wait till the last minute.
Don't wait till the last minute. A few more questions. Dentist. Can I go to the dentist?
Yeah. So the thing is, when you're going to the dentist, usually they got a lot of water going into your mouth, and you know it's so you're kind of unintentionally going to be getting a lot of water being swallowed unintentionally. So you should try to schedule your dentistry work and your appointments and all of that around the month of Ramadan as much as possible.
Swimming. Some people want to know, can I go swimming during Ramadan?
Yeah. So if you generally are not going to be swallowing water, you know how to swim, and you know it's not going to be going into your mouth, then you're allowed to go swimming, especially if you need to do it as a career or something like that. It's permissible, but just make sure you're not swallowing any water.
Yeah, and make sure you're swimming in a nice environment. Right?
And make sure you're swimming in a good, clean, and modest environment.
Yeah. Do I have to renew my intention every night for fasting?
Yeah, that's another common question. The thing is, you actually don't. So you can make an intention to fast the whole month of Ramadan. And as long as you're fasting every single day, you wake up in the morning, you already know that you're going to be fasting. Even if it wasn't conscious, you made the intention for the whole month. But if you get sick in the middle of the month, and then you don't fast, you need to renew your intention in terms of, now I'm going to be restarting my fasting again. So you can make the intention for the entire block of time, and that will suffice as well.
Someone's asking, can I pray witr behind an imam who prays it a different way?
Yeah, so there are some people who make the supplication, the dua, out loud. There are some people who do three straight, some people who pray two units, and then they do one unit. And some people feel like, I can't pray behind that imam. He doesn't pray the way that I pray my witr, the way that I was taught. I mean, there are differences of opinion on this. It's okay to pray behind an imam as long as he's following a legitimate opinion within Islamic scholarship. So the way that it works is, when you're praying behind an imam, you will be following the opinions of the imam that you're following, and they become your own opinion. So it's okay. So if even if you know the imam is praying a little bit different than you, you can follow what you're doing, but it's not going to break your prayer. It's not going to be any problem. So this is perfectly fine.
Now you're staying in Taraweeh prayer, and you're listening to the imam, and some people hold the mushaf, or maybe an iPad with an app, Quran app. Is this allowed?
So the thing is, it shouldn't be done. The reason why it shouldn't be done is, one, it's very distracting for people next to you, obviously. People are trying to concentrate. You have a light-emitting device, you know, your cell phone up there or something like that. You're making a lot of movements, too. If you're holding a mushaf, a copy of the Quran, when you go down into your prostration, you got to hold it up somehow, and you're not able to do the correct things. I mean, the thing is, we don't do this during our five daily prayers, right? We pray and we read whatever surahs we're reading, and we read whatever Quran we know. And if we're praying behind an imam, whatever the imam decides to read, we stay there and we kind of listen along. I know people try to do it because they like to follow along, and I understand that mentality, but that's not the ultimate purpose of prayer. You could do that, read your Quran outside of prayer. So it's not something that should be a standard practice. So some scholars may have permitted it, but there's a lot of excessive movement and motion. I would recommend it's better not to do these type of things.
We did it, 30 questions.
Alhamdulillah.
Some of the most common questions asked during Ramadan.
Absolutely.
That's it. Any advice for people now this Ramadan before we come to an end?
That's it. I you know, Ramadan, people have a lot of questions, and sometimes they're too shy to ask the questions, and you should not shy away. It's better to have knowledge than to remain in ignorance. So ask the people of knowledge. Some people just grab their phone number, your local imam, if he's willing to share his number with you. You can text message him questions, text people back. I do it every single Ramadan. Go and take a class on Ramadan. Go read up a little bit, try to understand so you can prepare yourself really well, and you will have the best Ramadan. Aim to have the best Ramadan you've ever had. You want to make sure you end that Ramadan being closer to Allah than you were the previous Ramadan.
Abraham said peace, Moses said peace, Jesus said peace, Muhammad, the last and final messenger, he also greeted with this greeting we started with and ending with, peace be with you, assalamu alaikum.
Peace be with you, alaikum assalam.
And just as they greeted with peace and they submitted to the owner of peace, because you cannot get peace in a six-pack of Budweiser or smoking that dope or that gunja all day and night and just partying and kicking it. Now is the time to reflect. Really, you've tuned into the Deen Show. You've been led here for a reason. If you're not yet Muslim, this is the way of life that we're living, that Jesus lived, Moses lived, Abraham lived, all the preceding messengers that came before Muhammad. Muhammad is just the last. They all came with the same message. Worship the Creator, not the creation. And do good deeds. Prepare for the day of judgment, because life is short. It's going to end at any time. And they fasted. And that's what we're doing this month of Ramadan. I hope you had a chance to enjoy and benefit from these questions. Subscribe if you haven't already. And we'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. Thank God. Alhamdulillah. We've been doing this over 10 years, 500 plus episodes. And we bring on some of the most amazing guests. So we're going to have a lot of fun. cover a lot of ground, a lot of exciting topics. You don't want to miss out. You want to be here every Friday, and then we'll try to give you some short reminders in between. But you can't get that if you're not coming back to the show every week. Fridays, we'll be releasing it, God willing, inshallah. Subscribe right now and enjoy all of the content that we're going to be putting out for you. Thank you. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. And don't forget, as I asked you to do already, if you haven't, subscribe right now. Thank you.